Yeah, the first question I have for you was about just kind of the production of the album. There's a lot of really cool sounds on it. You know, the first time I heard it, I kind of thought of the War on Drugs and that whole sort of ambient kind of sound. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about your sound, the production of the album, and kind of how, where that all came from.
Cool, yeah. So the guy that I worked with on this record, his name is John Ashley, and funny enough, he also does the War on Drugs records. He engineers those.
Awesome.
He's done a lot of things, and we've worked together for a while now, and I think this time around, we went into the studio, and we were just kind of like, you know, let's do like an anything-goes kind of record, and we just wanted to try a bunch of different things and try to expand the sound some, and basically, I just didn't want to get pigeonholed as like a straight like country guy, you know, because there's a lot of other stuff that I listen to and a lot of other influences that I wanted to showcase. So we kind of just did it song by song and like felt, you know, like felt it out and just tried different things and different sounds. And I'm really happy with what we ended up with.
Follow-up to your last record, you know, they sound very, very similar, but this one has some new elements to it that I really enjoy.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Cool. So the song Empty Arms, there was some nice guitar effects on that, and was that you playing guitar on that? I read that there's some other people who you brought in.
Yeah, well, I did all the acoustic guitar on that song, but Megan McCormick, I'm sure you're probably talking about what she did.
Right.
Basically, we just like crank the tremolo and just like hit big chords on that. So
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, she's
sound.
A wonderful guitar player.
Drove across three states and I bought a postcard for a quarter. From an antique store beside.
What sort of amp is she using there?
Oh, man. I don't even remember.
I'm a guitar guy,
sure,
so I like to geek out.
Some sort of, like, 65 reissue maybe or something like that for, like, a deluxe kind of reverb thing.
Right. Yeah, you said tremolo, and it made me think. I have a 66 deluxe reverb, and the tremolo on that thing is just great, you know. I love those amps.
Yeah. I've been using one of those Flints lately. I don't know if you've seen those from Strymon, but
no.
The tremolo on there and the verb on there is very reminiscent of Fender amps of old. And I just I have like a Gibson hollow body. I run through a Blues Junior. So.
Oh, okay. That's a great setup. Yeah, I heard a lot of influences on that, but especially on that song, it kind of reminded me of Strawberry Fields from the Beatles. That keyboard, whatever kind of sound it had,
Mellotron.
Right. Okay, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
So just wondering if you could talk a little bit about influences to your music.
Yeah, you know, I was on a huge Beatles and Beach Boys kick when we were making this record, which is probably why I wanted to try to expand the palette, because both those bands did such a great job of that throughout their careers. So, honestly, my listening habits are so crazy and across the board, like anything from like jazz to reggae to like dub to like hip hop. I mean, really, just kind of anything goes as long as it's good.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of musicians
try to like.
Go ahead, sorry.
Sorry, go for it.
Oh, it just seems like a lot of musicians are kind of heading that direction of bringing in influences from all around, not the traditional ones.
Yeah, you know, I definitely want to get to a place where I'm thinking a lot less about genre and I'm just thinking about, like, making a good record.
I've seen you shining so free of your scars. I've seen you crying alone in the dark.
I totally agree with that. Okay, so the title track, Crushed Coins, I have to tell you, the first time I heard it, it just instantly took me to a personal story. I lost my mom a few years ago to a stroke, and I had to go and clean out the house that I grew up in and whatnot. And that song just took me right back to that place. And I was kind of wondering what the story is behind that song. It's so sad and so gripping, and I really like it. I just kind of wanted to hear the backstory on that.
There's years under the bed that no one will see. There's clothes in the corner, heartache in the sink. There's no laughter in this house.
Yeah, very similar to your experience. I'd lost my grandmother maybe 6-7 years ago, and then more recently my grandfather passed, and so it was kind of like going to their house and like going through the things kind of prompted a lot of that. And my wife lost her grandfather as well, and some of that,
right?
And I lost a couple friends, so that's you know, the record kind of touches on death quite a bit just because of what I was going through. So yeah, I mean, you know, all that stuff's kind of heavy, and there's no way to really prepare for it, so you just kind of do your best and try to find some sort of like hope and light just to hold on to, you know, or else you'll just kind of like sink into that really dark place.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I can tell you, as a music fan, it's helpful for us as well. I know it can be therapeutic for the artist, but it's therapeutic for us as well, so thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So the last two songs, they kind of fit into that, the whole sort of kind of sadness and darkness as well, but I really like how they meld together. Was it 6 Feet from Flowers and then Until It's Over? There's a great blending of that and sort of a reprise with some lyrics from the first song. I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about that process. Was it more you or your producer, or, you know, what was that like coming up with that?
It was me. It was like, I had a lot of songs written for the record, and I wanted to just find the ones that went really well together. And so I sat with my keys player for a long time, and we just sat around a piano, and we kind of figured out, you know, which songs could kind of go straight into the next song with either keys or like some sort of rhythmic change or something like that. And I just really love records that feel like a world within themselves, and that's what we were trying to go for. And we just wanted to feel like, you know, there are still records being made that are worth your time, top to bottom. And that's the only kind of record that I'm really interested in making. So so we did put a lot of thought behind it, and it was very planned. And so it's always a thrill for me to see when, like, people notice that and pick up on it. So thanks for noticing.
There's a fire inside of her, cuts through my darkness, steals away the broken blue.
All right, so you're out on tour right now. Could you talk a little about where you've been and where you're going on your tour?
Yeah, I mean, this is a full U.S. tour. We've been on tour since the record came out in February, and we started on the Keamo cruise that went down to Mexico and Belize. And this tour is a 5-week run, and we're currently in California, you know, obviously headed to Reno,
right.
Among other places. We're going to be up in the Northwest with Oregon and Washington, and we do a few shows in Montana, and we end things with a couple festivals, one in Wisconsin and then one back home in North Carolina.
Awesome. Are you out on the road with the whole band, or are you doing a solo thing?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. The whole band.
Awesome. I like that. Get the drums and bass and everything in there.
Yeah. It's a lot harder financially, but we're making it work. So.
Drifting through a dream, I know it isn't real. I'm sitting all alone by a chimney in a field. There wasn't any smoke, there wasn't any warmth. No roof, no walls, just an oncoming storm.
So on your Instagram page, you say that you're a fan of national parks and like to get out to the national parks while you're out on tour. Have you been out to any while you're out touring?
Yeah, plenty of them. The only thing we've really done on this trip was we went to Big Sur for a day.
Okay.
We had a day off. I know it's not a national park, but it might as well be because it's just absolutely beautiful.
It is. Have you been to Yosemite before?
We have, yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, we've been to most. I think I've been to every California park now. I mean, we went to Death Valley, Pinnacles, Yosemite, Joshua Tree, and yeah, man, we just probably hit like 30 parks in the last year or so.
That's great. How can people find you on social media and the internet and all that kind of stuff?
Well, my website's calebcottle.com, and yeah, all my social media is just under my name, so just Caleb Cottle. Find me pretty easily on the interwebs.
Okay. And is there anything you wanted to say to the listeners out there?
Well, I've never played Reno before, so yeah, I hope people can make the show, and it'll be a good time. The band's really tight, and we're grooving, we're sounding good, so this is a tour not to miss, in my opinion.